In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know how many of you picked up the Lenten devotional booklet that we ordered for children and young people this year. It's from Illustrated Ministry, which does a nice job of developing quality materials and projects for kids while also providing thought-provoking theological formation. And this year, the booklet took as its theme and title, "This is My Body." Words which we know from Jesus, who spoke them at the Last Supper, which we commemorate this night. And they used this prompt to ask some very interesting questions. Questions meant to help us contemplate the fact that Jesus had a body. Some of the questions were cute, like, what did Jesus' laugh sound like? Or what was Jesus' favorite food? But others push the envelope a little bit more. Did Jesus snore? Did Jesus have body odor? Did Jesus get pimples? And as our family worked through some of these questions, it was clear the answer was obviously yes. In an age of limited bathing opportunities and virtually no hygienic products, we can be assured that Jesus smelled and got pimples and maybe even snored. And while on the one hand I could intellectually understand that those things were true, I was surprised by how transgressive it felt even to be asking those questions. How scandalous it seemed to even be imagining Jesus as a smelly, oily teenager. Because like many people, I think, despite knowing better, Jesus exists in my imagination as somehow somewhat safe from all the indignities of having a body. He's kind of frozen in this little bubble of perfection and sweetness. He's not sweaty or smelly, but that also means he's not real. Obviously, this sanitized version of Jesus is historically inaccurate, but it is also theologically problematic. Because detaching Jesus from his physical presence, his embodied reality, means he can slip very easily into existing only in the intellectual or emotional realm. Our relationship with him can become solely the province of our feelings or our thoughts, which, while both important and real in their own way, are incomplete, insufficient, because such a relationship misses the physical instantiation, the real lived existence that Jesus had. And that can undermine our experience of him in our own reality. Because if we have trouble admitting the fact that Jesus had a body, it inhibits our ability to know the presence of Jesus in our body, which is, after all, our primary way of existing in the world. Now, to be fair, the idea of experiencing Jesus in our bodies is easier said than done, because due to time and circumstance, of course, we do not have the physical man, Jesus of Nazareth, walking around to touch us and talk to us and make experiencing his physical presence an easy thing to do. But that is precisely why, on his final night with his disciples, Jesus went to great lengths to impress his bodily presence onto and into his disciples, and then gave them instructions on how to perpetuate that physical presence after he was gone. I'm talking, of course, about those two profound acts that we commemorate this night, the washing of the disciples' feet and the institution of the Eucharist, both undertaken to combat the temptation to abstraction once Jesus had departed this world and gone to the Father. Here, on Maundy Thursday, at the Last Supper, Jesus gets surprisingly physical. He's touching and talking and teaching all about bodies. When he gets up from the table and dons the towel and comes around to each person to wash their feet, he is engaging in a profoundly physical act that is meant to imprint on them an instantiation of the love that he's been trying to ingrain in them for years now. This last lesson, though, comes not in parables or pronouncements, but in their bodies. With him on his knees, touching what must have been very dirty, smelly, hairy feet. His body touching their body, and not gently on their shoulder, but digging in between their toes. It's a humbling, humiliating act. But it is an embrace of the fullness of their person, so that they can know and experience that Jesus' love for them is that complete, that intimate, that real. It embraces all of who they are, literally warts and all. And I know they must have been squirming in their seats, right? Because I know how uncomfortable and exposed it is for me to have my feet washed, even in this day of socks and shoes and showers, not to mention pedicures and nail clippers. It will be so uncomfortable, in fact, many of us will refuse to do it in a few minutes. You think the disciples didn't feel that way? And yet Jesus insists, because he needs them to feel the squeeze of his hands on their feet and the brush of the towel around their ankle, so that they can carry with them the experience of that real, incarnate, embodied love. This imprinting of his body on their body, in their body, then goes a step further in what he does at the table. For there, as we know, he takes ordinary bread and regular wine and makes the bold pronouncement that this bread, this is my body. And this wine, this is my blood. And then he asks them to partake of it, to ingest these physical elements imbued with this new significance and promises, that as they take these things into their body, they are taking him into their body. The reality of Jesus mingled with their reality, our reality. His body, their body, our body, one body. Not in their mind, not in their hearts, but in their gut, in their very selves. And by doing that, he says, we remember him. We reconstitute his presence, not just as a memory or a feeling, but as a physical being. And somehow, he is really, truly with us. In us, even across the miles and the millennia. For some reason, this doesn't make us squirm quite as much as the foot washing. Perhaps because that's because we do it more frequently. Perhaps also it's because it's slightly easier to escape into the land of abstraction with this little wafer and this sip of wine, so that it isn't such a corporeal event. But the truth is, Jesus took our most human of actions, eating, and used it to impart again the completeness of his love, the bodily experience of his presence, his body, our body, one body. But why does it matter, right, if we experience the presence of Jesus in our bodies? Can't it be enough to just engage fully and faithfully with the idea and the emotion of Jesus and leave all the scandals of his bodily presence aside? Well, as pleasant as that might be, unfortunately, it would stop us short of fulfilling the new commandment that Jesus gives to his disciples tonight. Jesus is seeking to imprint his love on the bodies of his disciples, not just so that they will carry that with them wherever they go, but also so that they will make their love for one another and each other that real. So if I, your Lord and teacher, he says, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, i.e., by washing your feet, you also should love one another. This is love not in thought and feeling, but in embodied activity. He doesn't say, I want you to think about each other often and care deeply about one another, though I'm sure he intended that too. He says, I want you to touch each other. Embrace people's bodies and provide for the various needs that they present. Because a love that stops short of that, that does not extend to the bodily reality of our fellow human beings, including the gross, ugly, dirty bits, not just the pure and pristine parts, is not the love to which we are called. For us to fully follow Jesus, we must be willing to fully embrace the totality of the human condition, bodies and all, and to love every bit of it. But the other problem with resisting the fact of Jesus' body comes from the fact that our bodies are so often the cause of our shame or our pain or our weakness or our frustration. So often we bear the ravages of life in our bodies. Our minds and hearts present their challenges, to be sure, but things like illness and injury and old age, these are largely physical afflictions, which means it is our bodies where we are most often in need of redemption, where we long for healing, where we feel betrayed, and where our mortality makes itself known. Which is why it matters that Jesus had a body. Because one of the ways in which he loved us in this body was by suffering in that body. We'll see that tomorrow, of course. He knew pain. He knew exhaustion. He knew what it was for bones to break and flesh to rip. He knew what it was to die. And that, ultimately, is why embracing the physical reality of Jesus is so essential. Because as our bodies break down, as we come to die, we can rest then in the truth that even that experience Jesus knew, not just in mind or spirit, but in his body. And therefore, his presence extends even that far to that moment, where he is real and ready to be with us even in our death. His body, our body. His death, our death. Because then, his resurrection is our resurrection, with no distance between them, and as real as flesh and blood. Tonight is a night to let the body of Jesus touch your body. through the hands of your neighbor, washing your feet through the wafer and the wine on your tongue, his body given for you, given to you, your body, so that he and we might live on. Amen.